All right, Reg and I are back. I'm Brett Buchanan.
Reg Gallant.
And it is the New Brunswick Country Music Podcast. And, we got a good guest today.
I guess.
Oh, man. It took me about a week to read this guy's
bio. Yeah,
his resume. Man, oh, man. Jason Berry is on the line with us. Hey, Jason.
Hey, how's it going?
We're doing well.
Yeah.
Great.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And Jason, you, with a resume like that, with a bio like that, you must be, I'm just guessing, you must be 78 and 85 years old.
Working on it.
Yeah. Now, you know what they say about a Rolling Stone gathers no moss. So when you're busy, busy and chasing your dreams and your goals. So, and I think that's what you're doing, fine job of it. I'm the same as Brent. When I was reading the bio, I thought to myself, holy mackerel.
Yeah. Where's he been all our lives?
Yeah, exactly. How come we haven't,
Now, we're recording this the middle of March. I do believe next weekend is the Junos in Halifax. You going to be at the Junos?
I'm just going to be there for a day, and then I'm heading out to Ontario to do a little work with a friend of mine named Dean Brody.
Oh, Dean Brody. Yes. Now, Dean Brody's just one of the many big names that you've worked with in the past. Rattle off a few of these names that you've worked with in the past.
Man, there's been a lot. A lot of the Canadian country artists, because I had a recording studio in Ontario before I moved back here. You name it. Paul Brandt, right to Terry Clark, Michelle Wright, Dean Brody, of course, Aaron Lyons, Charlie Major, all the way back to the mid-90s. Like John Landry, Jamie Warren. I wrote a lot of Jamie Warren songs.
Yeah.
And people like that through that era and then right up till now.
Did you write One Step Back by Jamie Warren?
I did.
You did? Really?
I did.
I love that song.
Thank you. Yeah, it's all about home, actually. Like the train bridge, I live about 2 kilometers from the bridge I reference, where Jamie and I reference in the bridge about the train goes one way out of town. Where I grew up, there was a railroad track. And it's about 2 kilometers away, and you can see it when you're down on the river.
Yeah.
And you'd see the train go, we call it upriver, and then it would go away. And then eventually, a couple hours later, it would come back. And as a child, I thought, oh, it's the same one, but it'd be a different train all the time. So that's where that line kind of stemmed from. But people are locals.
Wow.
For me, the girl is a reference to the girlfriend I had when I lived here when I was young, like when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And Rudy is a reference to a really good friend of mine who was a musician who kind of left music and found religion for a little while. And then, just people like that.
On my morning show here up on Pure Country, I always have a 90s rewind, and I played One Step Back one time, and I posted it on Instagram, and I said, hey, I just played this song that I haven't played and haven't heard for a long, long time, One Step Back. And Jamie Warren gave us a thumbs up on that post, which is kind of cool. And I didn't know you wrote it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we co-wrote that together. That was one of the first things. I guess I can jump in a little bit here if you don't mind.
By all means.
Growing up here, at that time, there was really no internet and way to connect. They didn't have the social media going and all that kind of stuff that you could connect with other people across Canada. So I decided when I played with a group. Around here, I hopped in with an Ontario band just for a matinee, and they loved it, and they asked me to go out to their neck of the woods and play with them. So I decided to go, even though I was accepted to school, and my mom and dad weren't real thrilled about that one. So then I left to go on the road with this band called Cripple Creek, and then I ended up in Waterloo, Ontario, and that's kind of where it all happened. I was playing a venue and a songwriter who I'm still friends with, Dennis Shear. They were looking for a guitar player and a session guy for a girl named Beb Mahood at the time. And so that they found me and asked if I'd be interested, and I said, sure. So I went to the recording studio where she was working with a guy named Rick Hutt, and I jumped in, and he was working on an album with Tom Cochran at the time, and everybody had left the session. They have all gone home. I was meeting with Rick, and he asked me to jump in, and he's like, oh, you play guitar. Do you mind just playing this little line? And he hummed it to me, and I played it. And he goes, that's great. Can you do another one and do this one? And he'd hum it, and I'd play it. And he was like, that's great. And then he's like, can you come back tomorrow? So that's kind of how the session thing kind of jumped in. And that's where I met Jamie Warren. He was part of that contingent there. There was like John Landry at the time, Jamie Warren, Beb Mahut, Diane Chase. There's a
Rick Tippy.
He wasn't part of our thing. He was more of an Alberta guy, but more of the Ontario ones, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how I met Jamie, and we ended up becoming fast friends. We still are today. And we wrote a pile of songs together, like The Way Love Goes and One Step Back and Words You Can't Take Back. We won awards for most of those songs, actually. There's quite a few songs there.
Wow.
Amazing. But that's how I met Jamie, was through the studio. And then I ended up developing a career through that studio as eventually an audio engineer,
mm-hmm.
where I met a guy named Fraser Hill. And we ended up, I kind of jumped in right away, remixing Ann Murray stuff with him, just as an assist, helping, you know, making coffee and making sure the faders are in the right spot,
right, yeah.
All that kind of stuff. But then we ended up working together a bunch more with Rick Hutt and Fraser Hill on other records. And then I became an audio engineer there. And then it eventually, you know, I did the Millennium box set with Bob Ludwig and all those people from New York. So I ended up digitally transferring all these old records.
Mm-hmm.
So the Beatles, the original Beatles master reel, and
wow.
all that stuff. The Canadian version of it, we transferred it to, you know, the digital format at the time, which was Pro Tools. It went from analog tape to Pro Tools, pretty much. So yeah, that's then that whole career into producing records, and then I built my own studio eventually called Baritone, and we won a bunch of awards, you know, CCMAs, and it's actually been up for CCMAs since I moved it back to New Brunswick. And according to what I understand, it's the first time a New Brunswick studio has been up for a Canadian Country Music Award for a studio.
Awesome.
Do you have many artists or musicians from out in Calgary or in the Ontario area coming back to New Brunswick to record?
Yeah, there's been quite a few. The Dean's Band has been here several times, and then I've had people fly in to work. Quite a few people come in to work and record, and then locals too. You know, I've had a few. I'm starting to kind of reintroduce myself to people here. So
yeah.
Slowly and hopefully, surely, making my way in.
That's amazing. Now, you know, it's really funny. We talk about what you've done, you know, on that end of the business, but you're an accomplished guitar player and you know, like a multifaceted musician. It's all that talent and effort and everything rolled up into it sounds like a super long career.
Sounds like a superhero.
But the thing is, it's not like you've been doing this for 40 or 50 years. Like it's you're still a relatively young guy, and it's amazing to have all that success, and yet not have that many people locally know about it, about the success.
Right.
They've heard the name, but they don't know everything you've done.
Yeah.
And then, like I say, when we look at the bio, we kind of sit there looking stunned, like, you know, we should be sending this to the Canadian Country Music Hall of Fame, not the. And you are involved in that. If I can understand it, the Hall of Honor.
Yeah. So I won Guitar Player. You know, once you win it a bunch of times, there's two of us now. What's in what's called the Hall of Honor? So it's like the Hall of Fame for musicians.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in for guitar with another person named Wendell Ferguson, who is from the Toronto area.
Mm-hmm.
He played with Ann Murray and a bunch of people like that. So mm-hmm. it's him and I that are in the Hall of Honor. And then coincidentally, that got us into the Canadian Hall of Fame. We have our own sort of exhibit in the Canadian Hall of Fame. So we were.
Wow.
So if you go to the Canadian Music Hall of Fame, you'll see like a Randy Bachman exhibit. You'll see a Jason Berry exhibit, a Wendell, like in amongst the other musicians that were part of that. And
are you allowed to win anymore?
No, I'm no longer a part of that nomination, so I can't get nominated for that award anymore.
Wow. Now, Merle Haggard has been asked, back, of course, when he was still alive, what does he classify himself as? Is it a songwriter, a musician, a fiddle player? He always said that he was a guitar player before anything else. What do you classify yourself as?
I think I classify myself as a musician first.
Right.
You know, I love music, all facets of it. And, you know, and same as all of us growing up in New Brunswick, you end up picking up, it may not be your last instrument. So my first instrument was banjo, and then I enjoyed the drums for a while. And then, you know, then I went to guitar and kind of stuck to that. But I still play a lot of instruments, and I love them for the reasons they exist in country music. You know, I love playing steel guitar, and I know where it lives, and I love it. And so I play it, you know, try not to play it like a guitar player playing steel. I play a steel guitar player with the vocabulary of a steel player, mm-hmm. and so on, as a banjo player and whatever. But I think I start as a musician for sure. All the other stuff fell in, you know,
right.
As a session player, then going on to be an engineer. And then as luck would have it, I got called by a friend of mine who was running Chorus Entertainment at the time to fix their Pro Tool system. And I went in and fixed it. And they were like, hey, can you be our post audio supervisor for CMT? And I went, sure. So I ended up doing that. And you know, that's where I ended up working with so many artists like Taylor Swift and all those people, recording a lot of those acts from all over the world, you know, and then having the studio, you know, just kind of, it all just sort of progresses naturally. It does seem like a large amount of stuff for a short amount of time, but realistically, I left here when I was 19. And so I've got a good 30 years in the biz, mm-hmm. working at that. I kind of got lucky right away when I got to Ontario and I met Beb Mahood and all those people playing sessions. Mm-hmm. Charlie Major called me, and I ended up going on the road with him. And my first big tour with tour buses was with Charlie Major, and Alison Krauss was opening for us.
Wow. Opening. Alison Krauss was opening?
Yeah, and that's how I started my music, you know, at that level journey, and I've never gotten off a tour bus since.
That's amazing.
I've been really fortunate, yeah.
Wow.
No, that's great.
Really
so now, let's swing back from all that big stuff.
Uh-huh.
And now we're coming back home to New Brunswick.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, people in New Brunswick have taken notice and said, why is this guy not in our New Brunswick Country Music Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
and the name's there, and people... What happens when you have a selection committee, we try to have everybody, we've got 11 members on the committee, and each member is representing a certain area. And then, so someone, say, for example, from the northern part of the province who knows a lot about what's going on up there would say, oh, yeah, like it happened with Brenda Best. I mean, mm-hmm. Brenda's in Nashville, and I didn't even know Brenda up until... I'm going to say when I was doing the bus tours with O'Brien Motor Coach Tours, I heard about her playing at the Nashville mm-hmm. Nightlife Theater.
Yeah. Yeah.
And up until that point, I hadn't heard anything. And then I got to hear about it and know her and look at the bios and stuff like that. And same idea. There's all these people, all these New Brunswickers that are doing things locally and internationally,
and nationally. And I think you'll find you'll see a demographic there, because a lot of us had to leave
to get the
success. I grew up playing with Amy Jardine, who's also in the New Brunswick Hall of Fame, and mm-hmm. Shirley Duffy taught me how to play guitar through playing all these hootenannies and stuff. And because of that, I was able to jump in with other groups. But I think you'll notice people of that time that really there was only a certain level you could get to locally.
Yep.
And sort of all the record companies were in Ontario or the Western provinces. So we all kind of jumped out in that direction, or Nashville, to kind of try to make a break of it or whatever. And I think now the world has gotten so much smaller with the internet. Yeah. I do all of my stuff happily now here in New Brunswick. Mm-hmm. I built a studio here about 10 minutes from my house on 20 acres. It's dreamy. I love it. It's got 7 ISO rooms and... I love it. And then I drive 10 minutes home and then I'm home, and I built a place right next door to my mom so I could enjoy her for the next whatever God gives us.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
And that was the whole point of coming back. I was away for so long, you know, 30 years I was running the roads and living in another province.
Yeah.
And just hearing or listening about what the family here was doing, my brothers and sisters, my brother and my sisters and my mom and my dad passed about 7 years ago. And it was kind of a hammer to the head going, I'm missing the most important things in life. So my wife, oddly enough, was like, we should just move there. It's beautiful. We had a cottage here at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she loved it. She loved the people. And so that was it. We moved, to Miramichi, well, near Miramichi, just up what we call upriver. I'm in a little place called Derby Junction.
Mm-hmm.
And then, man, after we got here, it was maybe 5 months and the pandemic hit. It was just total luck.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Now, but I one of the things that I want to get a take on is, how do you feel and what does it mean to you to be inducted into the New Brunswick Country Music Hall of Fame? Because it's not, I mean, yeah, it's not on the same level as the National Hall or anything, but it's about our people. It's about our folks in New Brunswick here and what we've been able to accomplish.
That's exactly it. You know, it's a close-knit community, you know, that loves its own, New Brunswick, you know. And like you mentioned, I've won awards wherever and all over. But when people that you grew up with and adored watching growing up playing, and you see the names in the Hall of Fame, you know, people, you always want, you no matter what you've done in your life, or you always want their, like, way to go, kid, or we're happy for you and we're thankful for you. It's the biggest accolade really I could ever have. It's my stomping ground. It's where I grew up. And I wished, you know, you would love to have done the whole thing right here, but at the time it just wasn't possible. But to come back and for someone to mention it or to go, hey, he's back and we're going to put you in the Hall of Fame. I was floored. I was flabbergasted. And I was thrilled. I was telling my wife, I was jumping up and down. I said, I don't know what else there is now. I think that's it.
Well,
that's all you ever really want. You just want your home place to love it.
That was my next question. What is next for Jason? You've done pretty much everything that you can possibly do in music. What's next? Everyone's got to have a goal. What's the next goal?
My biggest goal and hope, honestly, and my wife and I talk about it all the time, is I hope I can guide someone or a group of people from our home province in a way that helps them succeed outside of the province. So I'm hoping I can find an artist and make them big, or find a band and make them big, or a musician, help them get connected where they want to be connected to. And I've done that a bunch already with a few people, but from a distance, like Aaron Curry, and introduce them to some friends down there and so on. And the best man at my wedding works at a big studio in Nashville. David Kamuski works at the Addiction Studios, which is run by Journey. The band Journey owns it.
Mm-hmm.
But he, like people like that, just try to connect people from here, and hopefully we can stem even a bigger music community from here.
Yeah.
Nationally. It's nice to have such a wonderful community here, and we got a unique one. Everybody kind of cheers everyone on and helps them. And it's not always like that in other places. You know, it's more competitive.
It can be pretty cutthroat and competitive.
It can be aggressive,
yeah.
So it's beautiful here. And I'm really hoping we can shine a light to the rest of the world that, hey, you don't have to live in Calgary. You don't have to live in Ontario. You don't have to live in Vancouver to make it in the music business. The music doesn't care where it comes from. It's about the person delivering it. But I think I'm hoping I can help someone find themselves as an artist and present that to the rest of the nation or even internationally.
That's a great goal to have.
That really fits in with the New Brunswick Country Music Hall of Fame. That's what we're looking to do. Is we're trying to look at ways that we can help the up-and-comers and the young folks and One of the ways, of course, is by Brent and I doing our podcasts, and Brent's got a new show actually coming up on Rogers that he's interviewing people the same way, and some of the younger artists, and we're always trying to collaborate and come up with ideas to move that forward. Because like you say, in New Brunswick, I mean, it doesn't matter what part of the province you go to. It's not like going into a big open area and digging around and hoping you're going to find the gold mine.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a gold mine.
Yeah.
It's the province of New Brunswick.
And it's not just country music. It's
everything.
All kinds of different genres of music that are excelling here in New Brunswick. Yeah.
Oh, rock music.
Absolutely,
I mean, there's some great rap artists. There's a rap artist living in the city of St. John right now, national.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's got national. I mean, now, don't. I don't know. I can't remember his name. I know who he is.
Yeah, Master.
Master Fresh something.
Master Freshers. Yeah, I know. I know who you mean.
Because I'm not a rap. I don't follow rap. I appreciate what they do.
Yeah.
As a musician, I like it all. I mean, you know, I can sit and listen to an orchestral piece just as easy as I can listen to a bluegrass piece.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are some people that close their minds.
Right.
They hate country music.
Yeah.
They hate rock and roll. They hate heavy metal. I like it all.
Well,
if it's got a beat or if it's got, you know, a music, like if they're doing well, I like it all.
Jason, what do you think of Beyonce's country song?
Mm.
That's a tough one for me.
You know? I know, me too.
But not for the reasons most people would think. And, oh, I hope I don't get crucified for this. I think it's great that she's touching into the world of country. It's a natural navigation for people in that genre. They, as they get older, they tend to migrate to this world. My only issue with the whole thing was the promo shot. I was thinking, when I looked at her nearly naked, I was like, you're pushing back. Oh man, I'm going to get crucified for this.
No, but I don't think so.
You feel this way. You're pushing back women 10 a decade.
Yeah.
By doing this, why couldn't you just wear something lovely and come out with a country song and not come out naked and do that? It's so, I just don't want my daughter thinking that's how she's going to make it.
Right.
So,
unfortunately, you see a lot of that.
Maybe it's a sensitive thing to touch on, but that, I do feel that that's the only issue I had. I thought the song, I knew one of the guys that wrote it, and I think it's wonderful them. It's a great success to have. It's, you know, it's the break every writer wants.
It's hard for me as a guy behind the microphone every morning to say, here's Beyonce on Pure Country. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard for me because I'm a Merle Haggard fan. I'm a George Jones fan. I'm a Willie and Waylon fan. And I just find it. And if it was country, if it had more of a country tinge to it, if it had more of a twang to it, I'd say, okay.
Exactly.
But it's just, in my way of thinking, and everyone deserves an opinion, in my opinion, it's not country music. And I think country music is getting further and further and further away from traditional country.
But,
it is for sure. And I found, like, and I'm not trying to be argumentative, but I can bet you the same thing was said when Merle Haggard came out and Willie Nelson came out.
Totally.
They were like, those guys are, you know, they were outlaw guys. That's not.
Well, you look at the decades. Every decade is like the 70s is different than the 80s, and when they switched over into the 80s and more pop country, I'm sure they all said, what's going on?
It really is as Western music.
Yeah.
Then it became country and Western.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then it was country. Then there's, you know, pop country.
Yeah.
And there's 80s and 90s.
You know what I mean?
It keeps, it's trying to find, the new people are trying to find their own identity. But the unfortunate part of the whole process is the older music is getting lost. It's not being played.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate.
But there's still a few artists out there that are keeping it country.
Oh, yeah.
There's
no question.
About.
And we're all happy.
And you know,
about
it's making a resurgence. I'm finding it comes in waves. Like I was part of that thing in the 90s, and I was like, man, some of this stuff sounds like bad rock.
Yeah.
And then
uh-huh.
It drifted back into country. We got Brooks and Dunn kind of drifted back more country and less aggressive, and then stuff like that. And I'm finding it ebbs and flows, and it's doing it again. We had all these poppy things and all these pop producers coming in, and everybody's like, oh, this is great. And then we start losing listeners because we're training them to listen to pop, mm-hmm. and then they hear a good pop song, and they jump ship. They jump station.
Yeah.
But I think there's a bunch of artists now I find that are becoming more traditional, and I love it. It sounds great.
Scotty McCreery, Cody Johnson. There's a whole handful of them that are keeping it country, and I think that's one of their main goals is to keep it traditionally country. So which is good.
You were talking a while about probably going to get crucified for this, and that's probably what's going to happen to me. But my big thing is this, and I'll put a caveat on that. But my big thing is Chris Stapleton.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a big Chris Stapleton fan. And is he a great singer? Yep. Is he, does he deserve the accolades he's getting? Yep. But not from a country standpoint. He's a blues rocking kind of southern fried, I don't know what you would want to call it, but
he got his start in bluegrass, though. I think he back in the day.
Stapleton? I don't think he'd ever be a bluegrass singer with a voice like that.
I think he was in bluegrass.
Get me wrong.
He was a writer, you know, for a long, long. He even wrote songs like Honky Tonk the Donkey Donk, like for
Trace Atkins. Yeah.
Like it's insane what he's written, and he was more of a writer. And then when he came out, it was, you know, it was very much like world music, almost like a bluesy Southern guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and radio they didn't touch him. And all of a sudden, he was selling out arenas.
Yeah,
and then radio was like, okay, we'll play.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it should have been his own genre, or like his own. That should have been like a fusion of a few things and call it something different.
Yeah.
But it's like it was like Taylor Swift when she first started. Everybody threw her into the country genre because they didn't know where to put her.
Well, she was country when she started. She had to. Her first single was Tim McGraw, and it was country.
Yeah,
and then gradually every single that she put out was a little bit more pop, and she did the right thing. She went to the pop genre. I think she's doing pretty good.
Yeah, I would say she's a billionaire. So I mean, you know, it's anyway. Let's get away from Taylor Swift and back to Jason Berry, because that's what we're talking about today. We could talk about all kinds of stuff today. I mean, we're all in the same boat, you know, as singer-songwriters and radio hosts and everything. We could talk about all kinds of stuff, and we will. We'll definitely have you back on a future podcast.
Oh,
I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to the Hall of Fame awards ceremony this year, because we've got a great lineup this year. One of the hardest working guys in music in general, from the province, never mind just country, but in music in general, is Rick Reese. And Rick and yourself come from the same type of thing. We're all just these guys that came from little communities and have had varying degrees of success. I didn't choose to leave the province at the time. You know, because I'm dating myself now. I mean, I'm in my late 60s. So at the time, it was there wasn't a whole lot that you could do unless some guy saw you in a club and they threw a card at you. You weren't getting anywhere unless you left the province.
Mm-hmm.
And the Americans didn't want to see you from Canada because they had their own bunch of people they were trying to deal with, right? So it was a lot harder back then to get, shall we say, discovered, or to make an effort to make music your life. But, you know, lots of folks did it. Hank Snow and Anne Murray and all those folks. I'm not saying wasn't impossible. It was just harder, I think, back then. Now the opportunities are such that you can go online and put a song on YouTube. It can go viral just like that if you're not, you know, if you know the right buttons to push.
It's amazing. When I first, if you don't mind me jumping in, back home, you know, I had a lot of, I didn't tell everybody. I told my close friends and what have you. I never really thought of it as a big deal. I just went on, you know, Dean didn't care. It's like, what airport are you flying out of? And I'll fly out of this one, whatever. So I came back and I was doing sessions for people, all kinds, you know, they were sending me stuff. Hey, can you play this? Yeah, no problem. And I sent it back and they're like, hey, we're going to come over and visit you real quick. Is that cool? And I went, well, I'm in New Brunswick. And they were like, what?
What?
Yeah. And I'm like, I've been here for like 4 years. Yeah. They had no idea
really?
That I was playing. I was playing on their stuff, and they didn't put it together that I had moved.
Wow, yeah. That's awesome. But that's the magic.
That's the magic of
technology.
The internet,
yeah,
right. It's just like, oh, he's on Facebook or he's on Insta, so he's right there.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah. If I wanted you to do a guitar part on a record, you know, I'd just have to send you the track, and you're gonna so I mean,
and
you couldn't do that in the old
days. Especially COVID really brought that into light. A lot of people jumped on that ship, and that became more popular than everybody in one room.
Jason, in your days on the bus, traveling from coast to coast with all these names, are the audiences different? Are the audiences different in Ontario compared to Alberta, or are they different in the Maritimes compared to other places across the country, or are they all the same?
100%, they're all completely different.
Really,
regionally. So, if you can take Northern Ontario for example, say you go from even North Bay up, like Thunder Bay, mm-hmm. any of those places, it's more like home. Mm-hmm. They're more like here. They're just into it and whatever. You know, obviously, if you go to the more metro areas like Toronto and like London's a little more country, but Toronto definitely is more, not really interested unless you're playing the Bud stage.
But, right.
You know, we do that once a year with Dean. And then, but there's all the biggest country fans of that region come out. But then when you go to Alberta, it's like, country is very popular all across the board. It's more like home. And Saskatchewan is a lot like northern New Brunswick, where there's a lot of older country music. If you went out to a Hootenanny, say, 90% of the material would be Merle, Conway, you know, Loretta, even the Kindles. You know, you might hear that or stuff like that, where you haven't heard that stuff in decades in like Saskatoon. It'd be more of that kind of modern stuff. But it's funny, like Saskatchewan is pretty cool that way. They kept a lot of the roots and a lot of great country singers coming out of that place, I think. And Alberta too, obviously. But it's funny. And like in Vancouver though, I find is very, and the island, not really in the country. It's more folk.
Right.
It's okay. If you singer songwriter types do better, you know, stereotypically I would say in the Western hemisphere than say like a diehard country person. Depending on where you play.
I think that's it is a big beautiful melting pot. It's just the pot, and it's, you know, well stirred.
It's a big
pot, but I think there's opportunity there that some executives in certain, and I'm not going to mention radio or anything like that, they know who they are, but there's a big opportunity that's being missed to keep the old stuff alive at the same time as promoting the new stuff and pushing it. And that's what we're doing with the Hall of Fame for the longest time. And don't get me wrong, because I'm certainly not bashing the Hall of Fame, because I'm the president of the Hall of Fame. but the thing is it's like for the longest time, people considered us near the beginning to be the Fiddler's Hall of Fame, because a lot of fiddlers were being inducted at the time. And but rightly so, because a lot of a lot of the music that was being played when just before the hall was, you know, introduced by Aubrey Hanson, there were a lot of fiddles around and a lot of fiddle shows like the Don Messer Show and things like that. Yeah. And so a lot of these fiddlers and people like Myra Osborne and you know, those types of vocalists were being inducted as and rightly so, as part of that original, what Aubrey liked to call old time country music. And so now we're bringing it back, and we're trying to move it forward into the future so it will have a future. You know, by introducing these young artists and having them on shows. And I mean, there's criteria, of course. So, you know, you have to been doing it for a certain amount of time. And there's a whole list of things that, you know, you just can't pop in. But the thing is, it's we're slowly trying to bring that forward into the future. So the hall will have a future. And I think like I say, it is such a big, beautiful melting pot. And I was resistant to it at first. I always thought, you know, country, call a spade a spade. Country music is country music, and anything past that, if it doesn't have a steel guitar or fiddle in it, it's not country music. But having said that, I also realized that the genre changes as much as the rock and roll changed. The Beatles, yeah. The Beatles would be like today's classic country, rock and roll today and in the 80s and the 90s is definitely not what it was in the 50s and 60s.
Totally, yeah.
So we understand that now, and now we're trying to move things forward and into the future, still honoring our past and looking towards the future.
I think it's really important.
Oh yeah, no
doubt. Hang on tight.
Yep.
To the past and cherish it and always celebrate it.
We do.
Never the past if you always celebrate it, right?
I definitely agree with that. And we do celebrate it every year, and we bring in folks like yourself and hopefully in another like we're working on two galas right now. We're working on this year's, and we're also working on next year's in St. John. Wow. So I mean, we try to keep moving forward, so it doesn't surprise us all at once, I guess. So. But I'm excited to have you. I'm telling you.
Man.
I am so honored. You have no idea.
We could talk all day.
You can squeeze us in October, can you?
Oh, I'd love that. Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, I hope so.
I'm nervous. I'm terrible.
Oh, gee, don't be, because you know, we're probably going to be just as nervous to make sure that you have a good time and a memorable induction for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I'm pretty easy. As long as there's something to eat, I'm good.
there'll be food, and there'll be drinks, and there'll be some jamming afterwards, and it'll be great.
I'm looking forward to meeting everybody and sort of reconnecting with people I haven't seen in years. And
that's another thing that's good about
it. So many. Yeah. We're a pretty lucky province. We're a blessed province, and I think there were so many people just that didn't have a lot of different things to do. They just became these masters at their instruments, there's so many great talented people here. I just hope we get to push them out into the world, or at least let the world see them, and this is a great step in doing it, I think.
Well, yeah, and as an inductee and a future member of the Hall of Fame, you're going to have lots of opportunity to weigh in on things, because there's nothing we welcome more than someone's help and guidance to help make things flow and keep going and inform us about people that we may not necessarily know about, and you know, you can nominate people. One of the hardest parts is trying to get the public out there to realize that they can nominate people.
Right.
Just keep in mind that there is criteria to it. You know, like it's
right.
We just can't put everybody in there, because if everybody that liked country music in New Brunswick, we would probably have about 90% of New Brunswick in the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
So you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. Make sure you say hi to Dean for me, because last time I seen Dean, he was in the studio with us here in Fredericton, and we always gave away a Tim Hortons coffee break every morning, and we gave away a Tim Hortons coffee break, and Dean said, well, let me deliver that. So he took the Tim Hortons coffee break, went to Tim Hortons, got all the coffee, got all the donuts, and delivered it to a bank here in Fredericton. They were pretty surprised to see Dean Brody walk through the door.
Well, yeah, with a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell him
He's
said hello.
Guy.
He
yeah.
is. Yeah. Jason, we look forward to seeing you in October for the New Brunswick Country Music Hall of Fame gala and induction ceremony. And like Reg said, we'll get you back on, because we got
a lot of stuff to talk about.
A whole bunch more to talk about.
And
I would love that. I appreciate it. And I'm very thankful. Thank you.
And don't hesitate to reach out to us. I mean, we're very accessible. If there's any questions or anything that you need to ask, or any guidance that you want to throw at us, feel free. I mean, you know, that's what it's all about, is collaboration.
Yeah.
And we appreciate
you. And we may be reaching out to him for some help, maybe.
Yeah, you never know. Let's get him inducted first.
All right. Sounds good.
Anytime. If I can ever help, that's my pleasure to do it.
Yeah. Well, Jason, it's been a pleasure to chat with you. I look forward to meeting you, okay?
Yeah, you too.
Talk to you soon.
Have a good one.
Shingle the Roof.
Thanks again.
All right. We're going to finish off the show with Shingle the Roof. It's an Ivan Hicks tune, and I'm Brent Buchanan.
And Reg Gallant.
All right. Thanks, Reg.
Thank you, sir.